Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Two Back Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. So, Sean, do you think like a millionaire?
Thinking right now, bro. Why did you interrupt me?
Karen, do you think like a millionaire?
I'm thinking like a latent millionaire, like any minute now.
Well, that's the whole point of this show, folks. We all are trying to get our millionaire mentality on. So there was an article in thepennyhoarder.com about 9 money moves that every New Yorker needs to make. And we took a look at it and we actually remixed it. We were inspired by it. So big ups to them. But we remixed it and made it our own. So
we two black guys did, man.
We two black guys did. And now actually
we three black guys
did.
We
three black guys did.
So get your notepads ready. Buckle up. We're about to break down the 9 money moves you need to make today. So here
money,
we go.
Money, money.
Pay attention.
You're giving me that look. You're giving me that look, Jewish girl. What does that mean?
I'm waiting on my millions. Look at the time. I did 3 money moves within the last 3 days, and I have a similar amount of money, but we're getting there.
Typical woman. You want instant gratification, right? No patience. Instant gratification.
The fact that this takes time sickens me. I want my $1 million yesterday.
Well, let's get right into it so we can hurry up and Karen can get her millions. Let's jump into this 9 money moves you need to make today with our money move.
What you got, man?
And I'll start it off. The first money move is use debit cards that offer cashback rewards. So basically a little backstory. Debit cards have changed a lot over the past 20 years. In the early 2000s, banks were offering big rewards to their debit card customers with opportunities to earn points, cashbacks, other discounts. But regulations caused that craze to die down around 2010. And the banks kind of just killed all of those rewards. But to compete, some of the online banks kind of started basically offering a whole lot of rewards in recent years. So now the brick and mortar banks and the online banks are all jumping back in offering cashback rewards. So you need to check your bank and other banks, start researching which debit cards will offer you the best rewards. I have a few things to look into. Like there's Aspiration debit card, there's Bank of America Visa debit card, there's Empower debit card, Discover has a cashback debit card, American Express has a serve back cashback prepaid debit card, PayPal even has a business debit card, MasterCard. So all of these, they all have slightly different plans where you can earn 10% back on debit card purchases. Some, it's only with specific businesses. Bank of America will earn 15% cash back. So basically do your research.
You're loving this cash back, aren't you?
I'm agreeing with you, Matt.
Like I always say, your money should work in 3 different ways. It should be able to purchase the item. It should be able to earn you rewards. And then it should also be able to help improve your credit. And cash back is something that, if you know you're paying with your debit card, you definitely need to find something that'll give you, you know, $5 back on every $100 is lunch, Karen. You know what I'm saying? Like it's lunch, it's investing, and it's just creating that wealth mindset. Because I always say, the difference between $100 and $100,000 is just a few zeros.
Yeah, well, you know, there's, I mean, And in Hebrew, we have an expression that says, Mi shelo marim grush, he who doesn't pick up a penny, lo sheve grush, isn't worth a penny.
Got you.
Yeah, so it's like how you treat money is how money treats you back.
There's a biblical principle. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much.
Who said that?
And there's a hood one. If you got none, won't be none. That's in the hood. And I, you know, honestly, and how I look at finances when I do things, to me, a lot of the things that I do and even these, it's just practice. Because as the numbers get bigger, like I said, you'll have those same type of disciplines, that same kind of mentality. So I think what you're saying, Karen, and the Hebrew saying is correct. And what you're saying, Matt, is correct as well. It's just having good practices and, you know, understanding how to respect the money.
It is, right. Yeah. And for me, it's like almost a superstition, you know, like I don't pick up pennies because I am Jewish. I don't need that kind of heat coming down on me.
I didn't say it.
It's okay. I'll say it. But I pick up silver coins. You know, if I see a nickel or a dime or a quarter, I'll pick it up because in the back of my head, I'm like, if I don't do this, I'm disrespecting money and money won't respect me.
Well, in light of respecting the money, let's respect the show and go back to money move number two. Sean, it's on you. What do you got?
Money move number two, Matt, is buy life insurance. And we've done we did a show in the past on life insurance, Get a Life. So I recommend you listen to that show if you want to hear the in-depth of it. But, you know, I can't emphasize it again. I think for somebody that doesn't plan for the next generation has lived a selfish life. I mean, really, life insurance is about preparing something for the people that are going to follow behind you. And it doesn't have to be your daughter. It could be your nephew, your niece, whoever, your cousin. But it's really helping the next generation. And there's basically two types of life insurance you can have, whole or term. And term is really, we'll just call it your renting insurance. So I have term myself where I pay X amount of money. And if something were to happen to me, my kids would get a flat amount of money.
What about me? Do I get some of that money?
Bro, you've had my spirit, my presence, my friendship. That's invaluable, man. That's invaluable. I'll drop some silver coins down your stairs coming down and you can pick up according to Karen.
Listen, more importantly, do I get some of that money?
We just met. Come on. Like, we're trying to get in there like that. I don't know you like that. I don't know you. We just met. We just tried.
Sounding real greedy here, Sean.
And we COVID met too. Like, we haven't even met in person. We COVID met. Like,
That's not true. Our first meeting was in person. And after that, we met.
It's been COVID meetings.
In person. You did my show. And now we are doing the show COVID style.
Facts. All facts.
We're not there yet, homegirl. I'm sorry. As pretty as you are, we're not there yet. Well, Let's just keep it simple. At this,
any minute now, I'm going to be. My Sean inheritance.
So whole is where you're more buying into a plan. It's more of like an investment vehicle. It's more costly to you. And the theory is you should be able to reap higher returns. But that's just a theory. But the point of the matter is that you need to have life insurance. And I'd recommend looking at whole versus term. I'm more of a term guy, but you may be more fitting for your lifestyle to have a whole. But once again, the point of it is that you need to get life insurance. And the earlier you do it, the better off you'll be.
But wait, can I ask you a question? Sure. I am childless and selfish, and I don't know why I should have life. Should I have life insurance? Do I need it?
What, do you have cousins? Do you have nieces? If you have nobody that you want to get, then co-hosts. Maybe not. No. Co-hosts, exactly. And I always say there's a tipping point with everything because, like, you know, does Jay-Z and Beyonce need life insurance? You know, they have an estate, they have stuff they can leave behind. So I think it does get to the point too, if you're leaving a lot of wealth behind already, where you've accumulated things along the way, then maybe you don't need to have as much life insurance as somebody that has not.
Did we just liken Karen to Beyonce?
Listen, Matt.
No, I didn't mean to comparison. Karen asked me if she has nobody and she's living selfish right now, should she get life insurance?
I didn't say I have nobody.
Well, they didn't say it. See, there you go. Then you have somebody, then leave it for that person.
People that I love, but I have no children. I have no nieces or nephews. So, you know, do my parents need something if I kick it?
Screw them. No.
Well, Karen, I'll call that food for thought. Let me go to the next one. That's food for thought. Number three is, this is the one I did. I, a couple months ago, I have a friend, hopefully she's not listening, but she is an insurance broker. And I have like a multitude of different insurance. I have insurance for my commercial truck van, for my shipping business. I have insurance for my car. I have insurance for my home. I have insurance for my investment properties. I have an umbrella insurance to cover if that insurance doesn't work. There's a whole different slew of insurances. And I was like, hey, and I believe as you get older, you should insure more and more to protect yourself. But that's another conversation. So I said, hey, you're an insurance broker. Can you see if you can get me better rates? You know, because they haven't done it in a while. And she took all my policy numbers and we spent time on the phone and she called back again every minute. About once every 2 weeks, she's like, I'm looking into it. I'm researching it. I should be able to get back to you. She got back to me finally. She's like, okay, the only thing I can do better for you is on your car insurance. Give me your car information. I was like, hold on. Well, my policy doesn't end. My policy ends next month. So why don't I just finish out the policy so I don't lose that premium payment and then we'll roll into next month. She's a little bit upset. She's a little bit frustrated because now it's her turn. 6 months have passed. I have it ready for you now. And it was literally 6 months that she was doing this. And it was like, let's go, let's do it. So when the time came now in July, I actually called her and I said, hey, I'm ready now. Like 3 or 4 days was going by and I wasn't even hearing from her. When she finally got back to me, she's like, oh, the rates changed. I can't match that rate anymore.
Stop it.
The point of the Matt story is then I went online, did some research, and I found a website that's called Gabi. And I don't like to promote things unless I really believe, and they're not paying me, G-A-B-I. And it was so simple. And I think this is where things I've got evolved to. Like, this is why we talk, this is a COVID show, not 6 months ago show, where you can just put in, all I did was go to their website, sign in to Geico, who I'm insured with now, and they pulled all my insurance information and then sent me quotes of different insurances that I can jump onto within 24 hours. And in that short period of time, I saved $1,100 a year just on my car insurance.
That's
Karen.
So much money, Sean. Yes, that's a lot.
Karen, so basically, if we go out, you can supersize a girl. Like, you can supersize. You can get the big fries, girl, like the drink. It's on me. I got you.
Listen, as you were speaking, I already spent that $1,100 for you.
You already spent?
The power of a woman, believe me, it is spent.
It's already spent. You see, so the point of the matter is technology is there for you people. It's in your palm of your hands. You can put in car insurance, home insurance, life insurance, and it'll just give you different options for you to move forward, and it does everything for you.
So it sounds like Gabi is kind of like what all those airline, like cheap tickets or
Travel Velocity. Right?
Yeah, Travelocity, where you're going to find the best price across every company. So that's pretty cool for
Yeah, insurance. I don't know. Maybe they're affiliated with a few companies, but it gave me Farmers Insurance,
right?
Prudential, different insurances. And it was like everything that what took this girl, hope she's not listening, 6 months to not achieve, took them less than 24 hours to achieve.
Wow, that is impressive. I mean, she sounds like she is just full of it.
Oh my God, please, I hope she's not, please.
To do what a robot could do in 5 minutes, stop it right now.
People are hating on technology, but some things I think it's great. Like, this was like, and it makes it a fair playing field because you're really getting access to what's out there for you in the market in like real time, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. Karen, you're sitting there quiet. I need one from you. What do you got?
I mean, I'm not that quiet, but all right. So money move number 4 is put $5 in the stock market. So
$5.
$5.
You just took the $5 that I just saved on my debit card. You want it?
I don't want to brag, but I actually put in $25. I'm gonna blow your minds right now, but so this was actually really cool. I expected nothing. Okay, I'm cynical. I've lived in New York for a long time, and I already use, it's not that I have a huge investment portfolio, but I use Robinhood and Coinbase to invest a little bit in things that I've picked out myself, right? Where I feel superior to other people because I've decided that this is a good investment and I invest a little money and I watch it grow, and it's absolutely intoxicating. But this is a little different because for that, you have to do your research and pick out, you know, the stock that you want, and you buy it or you buy a fractional share. And this is different. So the app is called Stash and I downloaded it. So for this episode, you know, we each did a couple things. We each did a bunch of things. This was the only one that I did that felt completely kosher and didn't feel like a scam at all. I was totally on board with it right from when I started. So you go on the website, you download the app, and So what you, it asks you some questions, you link your bank account. It asks you, this is what I thought was really cool. It asks you how long you want to invest for. So are you looking for a short term, medium term, or long term investment? And what is your risk profile? So, you know, I'm investing. I knew I was going to invest a relatively small amount to start with. So I was like moderate high risk, right? If I lose 20 bucks, I don't care. But if I make some, that's kind of cool, right? Like I don't gamble. I don't even really drink. So for me, this is like where I get off, you know? So I was like, let's do it. Let's like take a little bit of risk. So you put in your information, you get to choose your subscription tier. So you do have to pay for it, but it's such a nominal amount. There's a $1, $3, and I believe a $9 level. And they offer you different things. So the $9 level I didn't need, right? It was something about like, you know, a plan if you have kids and, you know, I'm selfishly alone. So I didn't need that. And even the $3 plan was too much for me. But
so you went with the dollar.
I went with a dollar. I paid for a year up front, okay, because I'm committed. And what every tier offers you, which I really respect, is free educational material. So if you want to learn more about investing, you can do that for free. And once you've done all that and you've linked your bank account, it creates an investment portfolio for you. So if you want to be more risk averse, it chooses more bonds. And if you want to be a little riskier, it chooses more stocks. And I was kind of in the middle, so it chose a portfolio for me. I clicked great, whatever.
You're still uncommittal. I knew you'd be in the middle. I knew you'd be in the middle.
I am in the middle of committing to this, right? I committed to a full year. I paid for a year up front.
You paid your dollar.
Take it. Well, I paid my $12, not to brag. And but I was like, let me be right in the middle of this. I tried to change the riskiness of the investment and it told me I had to do that myself. So if I wanted to make it safer, I had to go in and advance myself. And of course, I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to stick with it as it is. But I thought it was so cool, right? Because let's be honest, you know, while I am a black guy with good credit, I am new to
it. And why are you a black guy with good credit? Why are you a black guy with good credit?
So I want to
not to go off topic.
Because we're all a black guy with good credit. You're a black guy with good credit. I'm a black guy with good credit. And not to brag, but I actually am a black guy with good credit because I did look up my credit after the last show and it is good. And
thank you so much. So we're all striving to be a black guy with good credit.
So we all have a little black eye with credit in us. Mine is
honestly revealed. Listen, you might lose your choice. I wasn't going to go there, but hey, people are going to look at you differently. Just for the record, take it as part of financing people. Listen, do not think beyond that, okay?
You made it a problem.
I'm just trying to keep the record straight.
But you know what? I'm gonna, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but I did look up my credit and it was because of this show. It was because of doing this show and my credit's actually good. And over the last week, I like disputed something. I've been actually on top of it. My credit score went up 9 points in the last week.
Strong J.
Thank you so much. And now my credit score is about 700. And I'm just gonna say that publicly because I'm quite, quite proud of myself. So this was my next step. Honestly, I loved this app. Because it was such an easy next financial step for someone who's really financially curious, but not that financially informed, even though I find it interesting. This is the fun thing about this app. You don't have to do anything, right? You set these parameters and it chooses for you. So it's a bunch of random stocks. If you ask me to name them, I couldn't. I know there's a US bond in there somewhere. I don't know what else I'm invested in, but if you ask me, do you have a stock portfolio? I would now say yes. And I would be telling you the truth. And it feels like a grown-up move. And awesome. I'm in a perpetually childlike space of being this artist and living in New York. And, you know, I don't have kids or a mortgage or a husband or any of that. But I want to take my money seriously because it sitting around is, you know, I'm too old for that. You do outgrow just sitting on money after a while.
Well, to me, it sounds like you're thinking like a millionaire. And that's what this show is all about. And
I want to give an overall just about investing. I know Karen was more driving you to the app, which I think is great that we should know. Yeah. But I just want to reiterate just about just overall investing in the market and the importance of it. And the earlier you do it, the better you, especially if you can just contribute like Karen doing like $10 a week, $25 a week, because it does build up. And once you get to a certain age, you'll have a nice portfolio and you'll be well diverse in the stock market. And myself recently, I when the market went down, I decided to invest more in the market, go heavy in the market, less on bonds. And now I'm reaping the benefits of doing that. And then also when people wonder, like, where should I invest? What should I invest in? I always say invest in things that you're comfortable, that you know. One of the opportunities I missed out on, like when I got on, when JetBlue went public way back when you were a little girl, I was like, hey, I went on JetBlue. I love this flight and how it is, what it provides, and TVs in the back of the headrest and all that kind of stuff. I said, this seems cool. I invested in JetBlue. I made some money. What I missed out on is Zoom, what we're on right now. And I knew it. Everybody went Zoom during this COVID time.
Not to brag.
Yeah, Zoom stock has gone up 500% over the last 8 months. So when you're thinking about what to invest, I always say start with things that you're actively using, biz companies that you know of, and invest in them. You know, and then you'll be more engaged, you'll have a better understanding, and so forth. So yeah. I definitely believe, you know, becoming a millionaire, you have to invest in the market.
All right. Well, we need to invest in a commercial break. So everybody stay tuned. We're teaching you how to think like a millionaire. We got 9 money moves that you need to make today. You've heard moves 1 through 4. When we come back, we got moves 5 through 9. So keep it locked for more Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A., copyright 2024.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today, I wish I had a British accent because it sounds rich, but we're thinking like millionaires like Mortimer and the other guy on Coming to America. But we're giving you 9 money tips, money moves that you need to make today. And we gave you
money, money.
You heard money move 1 through 4. And now we're at money move number 5. So Karen, why don't you lay that on us? What's money move number 5?
Right. So money move number 5 is stop paying your credit card company. And this
Don't pay your credit card? Listen, Sean, get off this show. You're telling me not to pay their credit card?
You were on the phone with me, Sean, when I was freaking out about credit card debt. And it's not that I'm in so much of it, but it is my most stressful debt because it's high interest. I don't like to deal with it. It's uncomfortable for me. And it's just sitting there and, you know, I hate it. So and I mean, as opposed to like student loans, that kind of thing. So, the company that I looked into was called AmOne. I have to be honest with you. Now, here's a pro. Okay. You put in your information and it finds, you know, who your creditors are. And it kind of streamlines this debt consolidation process for you where you can take out a personal loan that's sort of customized to you. For the amount that you're in debt for, pay it down, then just pay them some monthly amount. So that sounded okay to me. I will say this though, as someone who has consumed this show, if I hadn't been on and listened to the show, I might think that was a great deal. But actually, the APR that they offered, what seemed really expensive for me, it was like 19.99%. And over the course of the payment period, it would have amounted to a couple thousand dollars, which, you know, I balked at a little bit. And on this show, we've talked about balance transfers to 0% APR credit cards and then paying those off every month and in time to never have to pay any interest, which is also something I've done. So I wasn't so keen on doing this. And I'll say the second thing, right? The second thing I hated about AM1 is that so I didn't pull the trigger on actually committing to a loan. That, to me, that's a big deal. We're talking about a bunch of money and a big commitment. And so I didn't do it. But after my information was input and I was looking at my options, my phone started ringing off the hook. My inbox was flooded. And as I don't know about you guys, but I'm a millennial and I don't do that.
Me too.
I do not talk on the phone with strangers. I don't pick up for numbers I don't know. I don't do that. It was so intrusive. I had a million phone calls, voicemails. Are you kidding me? You left me a voicemail? The last time I listened to a voicemail, like I was, you know, that's unacceptable and so intrusive to me. And I have to say that it made me feel weird because their website is like, this is a great deal. And in my experience, a great deal sells itself. And if it's so great, why are you pushing me so hard to take it? It made me a little, it was sus and I didn't like it. And it was a big deal. It's too much money to commit to just casually. So in my opinion,
it was very smart.
Thank you. In my opinion, there's better ways to go about this that are easy. You know, you right. can literally after a show I did with you guys, which was like 30 something artists does our show. I went and just looked, I literally Googled 0% APR credit cards. I applied for one. It came in the mail a week later and I just did a balance transfer. And yes, it's a little bit more hands-on and takes a minute, but it was completely worth it. I'm paying less. I feel good about managing my debt. And, you know, I'm not talking to, I would literally rather do anything than talk to a stranger on the phone.
So you agree that we should stop paying credit card, but more of a debt consolidation. And step one should be see if you can do a balance transfer,
right.
zero interest. And then I would agree, like, that is very invasive. And maybe just going to your local bank and seeing what rates they offer if you go. But I always say, you know, my strategy is to pay nothing first.
Right.
And then if I don't get approved, then I'll look at other alternatives.
So my thinking was I want to do two things here. Number one, I want to streamline the process. So instead of paying this card and this card and this card, it would be nice to just pay one thing.
And
I would also like to pay as little interest as possible because that is paying someone to just own your debt. And to me, that's offensive. You know, it's almost like adding insult to injury. I know I'm in this debt, but I don't want to pay to be in debt. That sucks.
Right. Correct.
You know, so I feel like I'm empowered to do this in a better way.
And that's why I feel like, to me, you know, paying, like, I knock on wood, I've been in this country over 20 years, and I've yet to pay any finance charges on credit cards. I just felt it's like a game, and I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose, and it's a game, and that's how you can look at it. I'm trying to get money as cheap as possible. And once again, it's a wealth mindset of keeping in that mindset. But understanding, like Karen was saying, like, if you're in a high interest rate credit card thing, in this country, I always say, they will lend you money in this country. I don't care what your scenario is. It's just a matter of what are you going to pay? What is it going to cost you to get this money? The guy with good credit, it may cost them nothing. The person with horrible credit, it may cost them 29%, 30% interest, but you will get a loan.
That's how I
don't be intimidated.
That's how I got into this in the first place, right? I think when I was just turning 18 and not realizing, you know, it is so, so easy to get yourself in trouble. It is so, they will give anybody credit and it is so easy to get under a bunch of debt. It's a little bit trickier to get out of it, but it's actually not unmanageable. And that's something that I got from this show, that you can actually handle it yourself and limit the punishment of it.
Wow, exactly. Matt, what you got for us?
Well, money move number six is budget and use your entire paycheck. So normally budgeting, people think about have a budget for a year or a budget for like maybe their salary for the, you know, their whole, you know, they're looking at a longer term. But there's a theory that if you do paycheck budgeting, basically where you create a budget for every time you get paid, allocating every dollar from every paycheck to bills, expenses, savings. So basically, you know exactly where every dollar is going, so you don't frivolously blow your money. Mm-hmm. So it may be a little bit difficult at first, but I think if you make it a habit and you really start to slice off where you want your money to go. Obviously, you're going to have your bills that you have to pay. And then with the money that you have left over, you can decide how much you want to go to savings. How much do you want to invest? How much do you want for your fun money? How much do you want to go here and there to pay off debt? But basically, they're looking at this as a way for you to control and understand exactly where every dollar is going. Because a lot of times, I think people, they look at their salary and they think they have more than they do. So this kind of just tracks your spending. So
it makes you understand.
Is this an app?
No, this is something you just have to do. I mean, they're
millennial. Not everything is in an app. Millennial. Not everything is in an app. This is something you can put a pen, paper, Excel, care.
It's not happening for me. I need
you just drew a snap me. I didn't even know. What letter was that? The Z, the Y, or something?
It's called, it doesn't matter. I'm a black guy with good credit. I snap where I want.
I mean, you could Google paycheck budgeting and there may be some apps out there, but I'm not aware.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure.
But I always believe that, you know, when I look at budgeting and finance, even my personal, every dollar has a home. Mm-hmm. And you just got to find where in that home it's supposed to go. Like, I remember when I went with a friend and she was all about that too. She was a minimalist. Her name was Ariel. She was on a show a couple of years ago. And we went out to have pizza and she pulled out this white envelope and was like, Sean, I have $18.92 towards this meal. And I was like, okay, I got you. And she had like envelopes all parsed out because every place has every dollar has a home. Right. And then once you do that, it gets back to our old Jewish saying, Karen, you know, tell it to again, bar mitzvah. What is it? Exactly. Yeah. There we go. It goes right back to this.
If you don't pick up a penny, you're not even worth a penny.
Exactly. And you're valuing your money. So I agree with you, Matt. Paycheck budgeting. It's a new thing. It's a post-COVID way to budget, Matt.
All right. Well,
Karen.
Yeah, money move
number six. Give me some more.
Karen,
give me some more, girl. What you got?
All right, guys. Well, I was rubbing my little hands in glee when I saw this one. I was like, here we go. Some money for me. Money in my pocket. This money already had a home as soon as I saw this. Money move number seven is add $225 to your wallet just for watching the news. So that intoxicated me right away. This is a website and it's called Inbox Dollars. I'm going to give you the pros and the cons. I feel like from my tone, you can already tell where I'm at with this. But the pros are, if you're worried about your credentials, if you're worried about a resume, if you have a bunch of time on your hands, if you're older or if you're younger, or you've got a little time to sit in front of a computer and you don't mind doing this, this might be a great option for you to accrue some money over time. Here was my experience. Now, there's no shame in this game at all. If you have the time and the patience and you want to do it, please go ahead. It's not rocket science and you actually can make money doing this. You put in your information, you're basically your demographic information, like what are you? And then
you put in you were a black guy with good credit?
Good credit, yes. As you do. And it offers you a bunch of surveys that you can take and it'll pay you some nominal amounts. So like the surveys ranged from 25 cents to 75 cents per survey. And the expected time was like 15 minutes. It was like 12 minutes to 40 minutes, something like that, which was like a wild discrepancy. But I was like, all right. So I gave it a shot and I was like, you know, if you can bang these out, then this would be actually a pretty decent option. You've got a minute, sit down in front of the computer and take a survey real quick, you know.
How much money did you make?
Well, so you get $5 for signing up. So $5, I got it. I'm $5 richer.
$5 is going to all places.
You can go buy a footlong.
I can buy Chipotle, taco. I almost said burrito, but you know that's expensive. And so I sat down to do surveys. Caveat, before you do the survey, so they're time sensitive, so you can't just save it for later. You got to go on there and like pick your thing. It'll give you a pre-survey to see if you're even eligible to take the survey. I do not recommend clicking prefer not to answer because they will just boot you right off. They go, thank you for coming here. Enjoy the rest of your day. This isn't for you. In the event that you do take a survey, it takes 10, 20, 30 minutes, and then, you know, this money is credited to you or whatever. I quit early because for me, look, this show is about think like a millionaire, right? And I would say that if you're in a position, you've got a bunch of time to kill, and this is a good option for you, please go for it, because it is a good option. You know, if you have the time, you don't mind that it's a little bit monotonous and time consuming, but you can bank up the extra cash, go for it. For me, I feel as though my time could be better spent, and that length of time, even though sometimes I spend that time and I'm not actively making money in that time frame, right? I can't assign the dollar amount to it. It's going towards a bigger payoff later. And for me, that was a better use of my time. So I filled out a couple surveys. I was over it and I decided to peace out of it. I see the value of it. For me personally, I think thinking like a millionaire means working smarter and not harder. And this was almost the opposite of that for me, right? This was a lot of work for a little.
Well, I would agree with you, and I would interject that this might not fall under the millionaire mentality type of task, but if you do have time on your hands and you're looking for ways to make a little extra money, that beyond inbox dollars, there are other sites out there that for surveys or for taking, you know, you can test technology or you can, there's things you can do like this where if you're trying to make a few extra dollars. But I'm with you, Karen. I think some of these can end up being a little more difficult or a little more trouble.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say yes and no to both you guys. What I'm going to say is that there is a fact of time versus reward. And when you're trying to accumulate wealth, your most valuable asset you have is time. So how you spend that and how you leverage that is the key to becoming successful and becoming a millionaire. But I would say the lesson learned from all of this is that in most cases, you're going to have to need multiple streams of revenue. You're going to have to create other opportunities for yourself. You're going to have to recreate yourself. And I think the lesson learned from this is like, hey, recreate yourself, but understand the value of time. If it's going to take too much time to create what you want for minimal return, it's not worth it. And I think there's a plenty of opportunity. That's why when people tell me, oh, like Karen and I have discussed it, even Matt, like we've been, as we say in the hood, mad busy during COVID, right? Because we're finding other opportunities. So my point is that like, there's no condition that you should be able to recreate yourself and find the opportunities. And it may be like yesterday, because the market may allowed you to dig holes, but today, guess what? You gotta cover those holes. Yeah. You gotta be able to be flexible, you gotta be able to move forward and understand that you have to find these opportunities and then value your time. There's many, like you said, Karen, mm-hmm. that would rather, that are doing surveys and not so many, and you know, as symbolic, doing all day surveys. I know a lot of surveyors out there and getting zero minimal returns on these surveys.
Yeah. But you know what? We're in a pandemic right now, and this is a great.
But the Dow's at 29,000.
But you know, that's true. But you know, a lot of people in service industries, a lot of people are struggling right now. People in the arts, you know, and this
but you're recreating yourself right now. You're on this show, you're recreating yourself.
Yeah, we're not talking about us as individuals. We're saying the masses, if there's people out there struggling, this could be an opportunity for you to make a few extra dollars. Everyone's not invested and making money just because Jeff Bezos is about to be a quadrillionaire. There's people out there who could benefit from getting on a survey and adding a couple hundred dollars to their weekly, you know, even though they could learn from all these other tips and maybe incorporate other things, there are people who might need the extra money. So you could look into it.
And it's not nothing, you know, once it accrues, if you actually put in the time, I imagine that if you do this and there's a learning curve, I'm sure, that I didn't really partake in. And if I had devoted the time to doing it, it would have gotten quicker. I would have been able to just bang it out.
You might have been a millionaire.
I might be a millionaire right now, sitting talking to you right now, but I am just one black guy with good credit. But you know, it's not nothing. The money's not nothing. And there's no shame in this hustle. It's you know, money's money, and if you need it, this is actually a great resource.
Matt, right. What you got?
Well, money move number 8. I love that number. That's Kobe's first number. So money move number 8, add up to 300 points to your credit score. So basically, this is all about looking into credit monitoring websites, free credit monitoring websites like Credit Karma or Credit Sesame. So if you're trying to raise your credit score, it's important to keep tabs on it, stay organized, and be checking on it with regularity. So these credit monitoring websites like Credit Karma and Credit Sesame, they offer basically monthly, weekly, daily ability to check and see how your credit is doing. They're different. Credit Sesame and Credit Karma are very similar, but they are different. So you can investigate on your own, research and see how, and there may be other services that do the same thing. Those are the two biggest ones right now that I'm familiar with. Credit Karma is something that I've used and I was pleased with it. Credit Sesame is also very popular as well. So like I said, do your research. But basically the point is they give you tips and tracking and help you understand how your credit score is trending. If it's going up, if it's going down, how you can improve it. They'll give you notes. They'll be giving you, like, if you pay this down, if you lower this, your credit score will move up approximately this many points. And it's not an exact science, but they're giving you tips to help guide you and to see day to day what you're doing with your credit.
I think that's great. And I think, you know, the perfect example I would say was Karen, who's someone who was nervous about checking her credit score. When she first looked at it, found out, okay, it was not perfect, but it was something that she could improve on. And she just was able to review it herself and find ways in which to increase her score. So I think these websites will just probably help you accelerate that a little, show you where the opportunities lie and what you can do personally and ways to which your credit score increases. And once your credit score increases, it just gives you deeper discounts and opens up doors to more opportunities for you.
More money.
And it was so, I had never checked my credit score. It's something that I had always been afraid to do because I'd left it for so long and now I had built it up in my head and I was afraid of it. And it was after this show, it was after the quickie about credit.
After the quickie.
Let's just rip, Sean, for God's sake. I was like, let's just rip off the Band-Aid. I'm an adult. I have to do this at some point. Like, I have to. And so I did it, and I was so relieved. And I looked at it. There was an account there that wasn't mine. It's related to my parents. I disputed it. And once I had that off, because, you know, my parents are like,
something so quick. You disputed it. You didn't have to go to hire somebody to do it. You didn't have to go to a credit. You see, that's what you disputed. How did you dispute it?
It was on the app. So it's brilliant. So it shows you your score. It says view my accounts. I clicked it. There was an account that wasn't mine. It was my parents' account. My parents are incredibly financially responsible, but I'm not in their debt. So I wanted that just kind of knocked off. And it's so easy. It's a click of a button. It says dispute. You click it. I was like, you know, it was open in the 90s. I was like, hey, this is obviously not my account. I was a child when it was open, so it can't be mine. I would just like it taken off my report. And they did it. And within the last couple of days, they took it off. My score went up like 9 or 10 points instantly. By the way, on both. So it was like TransUnion and Equifax. And I only disputed it on one. And my credit score changed on both of them, not equally, but honestly, it was addictive, and I'm so glad that I crossed that boundary because I was scared.
Well, to that point, in terms of the difference between Credit Karma and Credit Sesame, one difference is that Credit Karma does report TransUnion and Equifax, whereas Credit Sesame really just reports TransUnion. So but do your research and you know, check out the differences between these two things. But it's definitely a key way to improve your score is to know your score and to track your score.
Yeah. I want to give a COVID credit note that something that just happened to me this week for people that don't know. So, you know, I'm sure most people listening to this, I'm sure probably everybody listening doesn't know this, and I didn't know this till this week. So everybody knows about what's happening during this pandemic, that mortgage banks and lending institutions are giving you forgiveness where you don't have to make a payment. They're not, some of them are accruing the interest, some of them are not charging you the interest, and they're telling you that it won't affect your credit report, right? So I'm doing a refinance on a building that I have, and my banker says, Sean, what's this note on from Chase Bank that says payment not due till September 2020? And the underwriter for the bank that I'm trying to refinance with looked at it as like somewhat almost like a negative. Like, it didn't change my score, but it was like, you have deferred your payments. And I'm like, yes, because we were allowed to. But I applied to deferment, but the good thing is, just by chance, I still continue to make the payments. So like, yes, I applied to it just in case I needed to do it. It was there for me to do, but I never actually acted on it. So my point is that my banker was telling me if I had acted on it and deferred and not made those payments, I wouldn't have gotten this upcoming loan that I'm trying to get. Not that my credit score was affected, but it just looked like to the new lender that, oh no, he's not making payments on something because he can't afford
it. Let's be clear though. So the point is, be careful with these decisions because what they say may not always be the case, because somebody might have taken that loan because they need it, or taken the deferment, or the you know, if you need it, do it. But you're saying be aware.
If you're doing future deals, And even now, Future Mortgage, I was listening to the Wall Street Journal. I was reading about, and they were saying that a lot of new loans are putting in a clause where you're not allowed to have forbearance.
And little definition time, forbearance, for people who don't know?
Meaning that you can't, like, if you get this new loan, you can't ask for deferment on payment. Because what happens is they sell these loans, most banks, they sell these loans in secondary markets. And part of the market, part of the condition is, you know, who's making these payments on this debt? And if it shows that people aren't making a payment, then the returns, Wall Street's not going to make their money on it. It's not going to have as much value in the secondary market. So they want to know that the people that they're bringing on as new loan people, people that are borrowing money from them, are going to make their payments regardless. Mm-hmm. So they'll, to get the loan, they'll make you sign a forbearance agreement.
All right. Well, that's a bonus.
That's
tip.
A little COVID. That's what we're applicable. We're talking about today, Matt, not about 2 years. That's why they listen to two black guys with three black guys with good credit. Right, Karen?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for, I feel seen.
All right. So moving on, Sean, why don't you bring us home with money move number 9?
Sean, you better not be eating on this podcast.
This money move number 9, Matt. This one is my favorite. Not that it's the best, it's just that it's my favorite. I grew up, you know, knowing that you had fixed expenses and the only way to get rid of those expenses was to cancel them. And most people never cancel getting water into their house, getting electricity into their house. There was like, anybody did a budget, you always had to put in for utilities. And there was no way around it. Well, not no more. In today's world, you have options when it comes to utilities. And I, you know, one that everybody keeps talking about is solar. And I was like never really delving into it. And I started to look into it. And it's a great option. So a friend of mine lives in Queens, which everybody doesn't know the difference between Queens and Brooklyn, but they have more single family homes in Queens. So he has a big single family home. He was telling me, hey, Sean, I solarized my whole house that I have so much energy, I sell it back to the grid. Wow. And he was like, Sean, I leave my AC on all day. I leave my lights on. I leave everything on. I'm like, whoa, what? It seems so like, you know, as a millennial, like, so you're not like paying justice to the environment. You're so environmentally friendly. Next, you're going to be telling me that there's no such thing as global warming, you know? So I was like, whoa, you leave everything on. Well, you think about it, it's just sunlight he's getting his energy from. So I'm like, okay, I don't think it's such a bad thing. So I was like, okay, let me look into where I live in Brooklyn in a brownstone. And they said, well, we can put panels on your roof, but because you live on a landmark block, we can only put a limited amount of panels and it was only going to bring your bill in half. So I was like, oh, that's not really cool. But then I found a website that has a company that has a solar farm. You know what that is? They don't farm cows. They don't farm pigs. They farm panels, okay. Energy. And then they can sell you that energy on into your home. And so no longer do I need, so people that said, well, I would love to have solar in my home, but it's costing me $30,000 for the panels. You don't have to spend that money anymore. You can become part of this farm, buy solar energy, and reduce your bill in the same manner. And even for everybody's listening, thinking that you have to own a home to do this, that's not true. You can become part of the farm, Matt. You can join the farm, Karen. Anybody can join this farm, even if you're renting, owning, leasing. It doesn't really matter. You can go to Arcadia Power. You just give them your electric bill information, and they will join you on the farm. Barriers to enter, very simple. You can be a farmer, Matt. And for those that maybe have the bandwidth and can put a lot of panels on their roof, like my friend in Queens, I don't think it's a bad idea to invest in solar panels, because although he spent $30,000, he's saving $600-$700 a month. So when you look at that, $600-$700 to $7,200. So in about 4 years, he's reaped back his investment. And there's so many government incentives. I didn't even bring that part up. Like, it cost him $30, but he got over $21,000 in federal and state rebates. So it really only cost him $8,000. Exactly. 1 year of payment. And then now he has no worry about utility bills. So I think, even like, I'm a man that loves real estate, but if you can earn a 26% return on your investment, why not? And when in this game, it's all about cash flow too. He's reduced that cash flow. He's no longer have to make those utility payments, and he's getting positive cash flow from it. And he's getting incentives to do it.
Sounds like a win-win to me.
That's why it's my favorite, Matt.
Wow, Sean. Well, that is definitely a win-win. And, you know, that brings us to the close of our list. And basically, the whole point of this is we want you to start to think like a millionaire. Isn't that right, Karen?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not a millionaire yet, but thinking like a millionaire to me starts with just being mindful of how your money is working on just a constant basis, right? So how your $5 is working for you, how your 5 minutes is working for you, how your electric bill may or may not have to be paid by you. And it's like how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you're mindful of these little bits, that accrues into the mindset of a millionaire.
Perfect. Well, I don't want to disclose my financial being, but I would say this. When you practice these certain principles, and when I got to age 40, I saw all these disciplines starting to pay off. And when you get to the point where you're like, hey, I'm bringing in all this money and I don't have to spend, I'm only spending a small percentage of it to cover myself, is when you start seeing these practices, these habits, these things that we're trying to think, start to pay off, and you start building, and then also you also start building relationships. People trust in you. People want to work with you. People want to invest in you. So these things are foundational things that you need to have a mindset of to really become that wealth mindset person.
Well, to recap, our 9 tips, thinking like a millionaire, 9 money moves you need to make today. Tip number one was use debit cards that offer cash back rewards. Number 2 was give your family millions through life insurance. Number 3 is cancel your car insurance. Number 4 is put $5 in the stock market. Number 5, stop paying your credit card company. Does that require any extra?
They heard it before. No, they okay. Heard it before.
All right.
They know it.
All right. Tip number 6, budget and use your entire paycheck. Number 7, add $225 to your wallet just by watching the news. Number 8, add 300 points to your credit score. And tip number 9, get a free month of electricity. All right, everybody. So that brings us to a close of another episode of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We hope you took notes and got something from this. Get your millionaire mentality on. I'm Matt Smith, one half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit, and I'm out.
Hi, and I'm Karen Margolis. I am one third of 2 black guys, not 3 black guys, but it's 2 black guys with good credit. You're going to have to do the math on that later. And I'll see you guys next week.
Carrie the one.
Karen the one, not Carrie the one. Karen the one.
Snap.
And I'm Sean, the better half of 2 black guys with good credit. Hopefully you got your money millionaire tips on. You took your pen and pad and, well, Karen, maybe you took your iPad and magical pen and did what you had to do. But people, put it to practice and you'll see great results. Once again, keep your money where it belongs, in your damn pocket, and I'm out.
Two black guys with good credit.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.